Jeremiah 14, we'll read a few verses, says, the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth. Judah mourneth, the gates thereof languisheth, they are black to the ground. And the cry of Jerusalem is gone up. What does that mean? It means it has increased, it's gotten louder, but also they're looking to God. Their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. But they came to the pits and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded. They covered their heads. Because the ground is chapped, for there was no rain in the earth, the plowmen were ashamed. They covered their heads. Yea, the hind also calved in the field and forsook it because there was no grass. And the wild animals did stand in the high place. They snuffed up the wind like dragons. Their eyes did fail because there was no grass. Now, when we speak of Judah, of course, remember we're talking about the southern portion of Israel where Jerusalem is. And Jeremiah, as he writes this, of course, we know Jeremiah lived through the battles, through the invasions and the exile of the people. Jeremiah refused to go, ends up in Egypt. But he's there preaching in the midst of all this. He's there preaching in the midst of all of the chaos and all of the despair and all of the emptiness. No, we have to be careful what we repeat and what we buy into, because being election season, there will be a lot of statements made and exaggerations. I mean, you know and I know what the difference is between now and then on the grocery bill and the gas bill and all of those things. So, but we don't have to exaggerate that. We can speak facts and not exaggerate anything. But to realize the ultimate goal, and this is not a conspiracy because this is Bible, the ultimate goal being a one-world government. The ultimate goal being a one-world currency. The ultimate goal being electronic currency. In fact, not just electronic, but a chip in our hands. How close are we to that? It's available, right? You can get it in your hand and you can open your car door with it. That's how close we are to it. I got my remote wet yesterday and the truck wouldn't start. I can put it in my hand and somehow it'll start. So, but that's where we are. We're there. The technology is available. The databases are available. We're there. We're at the doorstep. So how bad is it going to get for us? We're looking back here at Jerusalem, at Judah, and there's despair to the point where even the richest of people, now, he says the nobles, what he's saying to us is those who could afford anything, they never suffer for anything, never want anything, they are suffering. You see, it's not just the poor man, it's not just the worker, but it's everybody is suffering together. Jeremiah 14. Everybody's suffering together. And Jeremiah, here's the thing, as Christians, we need to take note of this. As we get later into this chapter, guess what Jeremiah says? Hey, I'm suffering too. It's not just them, it's me too. There's no grass, there's no grass, there's no water, there's no water for anybody. Guys, if God judges America, we're going to suffer. By the way, who can blame them? That's where we are. I love our country, but our country's in a mess. It's wrecked. Verse number 7. Oh, Lord, though our iniquities testify against us. Oh, you see their cry went up to heaven? What did they say? Well, they said, Lord, our iniquities, our actions, our iniquities, our sins testify against us. Do thou it for thy name's sake. Our black sightings are many. We have sinned against thee. God, we admit it. We're wrong. But what's their angle? But Lord, think about your reputation. Right? We're your people. Right? I mean, God, if you let us suffer, what's everybody else going to think? That you couldn't take care of your people? This is what we call manipulation. Look at verse number 8. Oh, the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in the time of trouble. Why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Why shouldest thou be as a man astonied as a mighty man that cannot save. Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not. God, look, everybody sees us and they think of you. And if you let this continue, what are they going to think about you? Oh, they didn't think about that before, did they? Only now, when it would serve their interests, do they think about God's reputation and God's feelings. And I don't think they're the only ones ever been guilty of that. I think sometimes we've said, well, Lord, what are people going to think if you let me down? Well, people are looking at me, they think of you, and don't you want me to be a good example? Yeah, I do. But to manipulate, try to manipulate God, look at what God says. He responds. Verse 10, thus saith the Lord unto his people, unto this people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and will visit their sins. It's judgment time. It's judgment time. And you think about that in light of our country and the direction we're going, and, you know, it's incredible that we've made it this long, isn't it? It's incredible that we've come this far. As much as bad as it is, again, you got to be, please remember this. Even when you see a video on television or on the computer, on your phone, you can't trust it. Because with now artificial intelligence, and I see it every day. We get informational emails from, you know, the agencies, and it says, this is the warning for the day. This is what they're doing today. And that artificial intelligence is changing things. But if you'll watch very closely, you'll see that the mouth does not match the words. And they're making, they might put a candidate up there or a movie star or somebody, a celebrity, somebody you know, but they'll change and by the way, use their voice. It sounds just like them. And it's not somebody mimicking, it's the computer that has now adopted that voice, even with intonation and tone, all that, and it can make them say whatever you want. Don't believe the videos you see. What are we going to do? God says they love to wander, and now they're going to pay for their sin. You're crying out now because you're suffering, but you weren't crying out back there when you were sinning and everything was okay. Now all of a sudden it's a problem. Now you're suffering. Now everybody's involved, and all of a sudden now you turn to God. Verse 11. Then said the Lord unto me, Jeremiah, pray not for this people, for their good. Wow. God says to the man of God, don't even pray for them. Save your breath, God says. You're wasting your time if you pray for these people. I'm not going to hear it. Pray not for their good. Pray not for their good. Verse 12, when they fast, I will not hear their cry. Doesn't matter if they suffer. Doesn't matter if they miss a meal. Doesn't matter if they try to be religious now. I won't listen. When they offer a burnt offering, an oblation, I will not accept them. Doesn't matter how much you give. Doesn't matter what you bring to the altar. God says, I'm done with this people. Hey, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and had it not been for Noah, he would have wiped out everything. He searched the world over. He found one man. He looked at his sons and he said, well, I guess their family will keep them too, right? But he saved 8 people. And after that, you have the Tower of Babel. He divided the people. Then you have Moses leading them out of Egypt back to the promised land. And God says again, I'm done with these people. Moses says, but God, what about your reputation? He says, okay, I won't kill them, but I'm not going to reward them. You see that? So it's happened through the scripture, and here it is happening again to Judah. We need to see God's pattern. And understand, I look at Goshen and I see that the Hebrews did not suffer while Egypt was being plagued, but I see that Jeremiah suffered in Judah along with everybody else. And I'm telling you, we need to be godly. We need to be mindful. We need to be financially sound. We need to have our affairs in order. But we also need to realize that if the drought comes, if the water dries up, if there is no grass, if trouble comes to America, we still have to believe. We still have to have faith. We still have to point the way. But these prosperity preachers, what are they going to do? Because they said, if you're right with God, you'll be rich and fabulous and have everything you ever wanted, right? Have no needs. But we need to understand, we as God's people need to understand, even when we suffer, God is God. And though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Jeremiah, God says, Jeremiah, don't pray for them. If they fast, I'll not hear it. If they give an offering, I will not hear it. I'll consume them by the sword and by famine and by pestilence. I'm not going to listen to them. And so Jeremiah, isn't this great? You see the way Jeremiah talks to God? Well, this is how we should talk to God. Have a conversation with God. And so verse 13, Jeremiah said, Lord God, behold, the prophets say to them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. That's what the preacher said. Jeremiah says, but Lord, that's what the prophet said. And as far as the people are concerned, when they see the prophet, they think, well, yeah, he speaks for God. Right? So they trust the man of God. I believe we ought to have men of God we can trust. I believe we ought to have pastors and preachers that we can trust. But we better be in the Word of God. Because if you don't study your Bible, how are you going to spot a false? How are you going to find a fraud if you don't know the Scripture? And they start throwing things out there. You go, well, that's not what the Bible says. You won't know that unless you study it. Oh, but Lord, what did the prophet? The prophet said everything's going to be fine. They got up there on TV and smiled real big, said it's all going to be okay. Just send me some money. If you'll send me some money, everything will be all right. Isn't that what they say? And I'm not against TV preachers. Understand that. I'm just against false prophets. Verse 14, and the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake to them. They prophesy to you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught, and it's the deceit of their heart. It's their manipulation. You know, I didn't send them. I didn't give them a word. Didn't tell them what to say. And the divination, what's that? That's miracles. That's magic. You know, we got to be watching. We got to be careful. I believe God can do anything he wants to. He can heal, raise the dead. God can do anything he wants to do. But I believe there's some false prophets running around saying, look at what God did in me. And God said, I didn't even send them. Verse 15, therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name. And I sent them not. Yet they will say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. They'll be the very ones to face it. Verse 17, therefore thou shalt say this word to them. Let mine eyes run down with tears night and day. Let them not cease. For the virgin daughter of my people is broken with a great breach, with a very grievous blow. If I go forth into the field, then behold the slain with the sword. And if I enter into the city, then behold them that are sick with famine. Yea, both the prophet and the priest go about into a land that they know not. Hast thou utterly rejected Judah? Hath thy soul loathed Zion? Why hast thou smitten us? And there is no healing for us. We look for peace. There's no good. For the time of healing, behold trouble. It just keeps coming and coming in waves and trouble. And we say, well, but we're people of faith and we're going to look for hope. But the picture that God is describing and the reality that God is portraying to us here of that time and that place was there was no hope. Why? Because the people had forsaken God. The only hope America has is for God's people to be righteous. and to draw others to God. That's the only hope. That's the only hope we've got. I know the rapture's coming. I know the Lord's going to come and take us out of here. But if we're counting on it being today so we don't have to work tomorrow, we're in trouble. It might come today. All right, might add that to your prayer. It might come today. But guys, don't you have people you love that you want them to go to heaven? Then we got to get busy. If we wait, the Lord will not tarry. He's got a schedule to keep. He's got a calendar. And we're on it. Verse number 20. We acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers. We have sinned against thee. Do not abhor us for thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. Remember, break not thy covenant with us. Here it is. But God, what about your reputation? God, what's going to happen to you? Well, I mean, what are people going to think of you if we despair? Don't ever get the idea that you're too big to fail. Don't ever get the idea that God needs you too much to judge you. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Art not thou he, O Lord our God? Therefore we'll wait upon thee, for thou hast made all these things. Here's the thing. He said, we looked other places. There's no other place. There's no other God that can do this. You're the only one. You are our only hope. You're our last chance, God. We've come to you repenting and acknowledging our sin because you're the only hope. Do you know what the problem is? The problem is they waited too long. I'm afraid there's going to be some who are waiting to get to heaven to find the answer, to know the truth, and the truth has been laid out before them. Their opportunity will be passed. That should not be us. Chapter 15, verse 1, then said the Lord unto me, and this is such a huge statement. Though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight. Let them go forth. When so-called churches will position themselves to the sacrifice of babies, what hope is left? I'll bet you, and I know we're not supposed to bet, I'll venture to say there's probably not a good, sound, biblical church in the whole country where you won't find at least one person who will stand with abortionists instead of standing with God. That's the tragic statement of the day. There's probably not a single church in America that doesn't have at least one person in it that says, I'm for abortion rights. And you say, well, Pastor, that can't be true. There's got to be some church somewhere where nobody in that church, 100% of the people would stand for babies and stand for what's right. Tell me that in November. Remind me of that in November. Because I'm telling you, that's one of the choices we're making. You can like it or not, but that's the reality. I saw a pastor, I think Carolyn sent me a video of a preacher, and he was just telling me, if that's how you are, get out. But let me tell you something. I won't go that far because I want to reach people. But it's going to be very telling. It's going to be very telling. I'm going to say that we're going to stand before God one day. I will, you will. We're going to stand before God one day and answer for what we've done with what he gave us. To turn a great godly country into a place that sacrifices babies for their future. And I probably brought this up a while ago, but I heard it. It came from actually a Catholic, but he said this. Think about this. What did Jesus say when he administered the Lord's Supper, the communion? He said, this is my body. Remind me again what their mantra is. This is my body. America's got a choice to make. God said that not even Moses or Samuel could dissuade me from the judgment against this people. I'm not a single position voter. But I'll tell you something, it matters. And by the way, that's not just on the federal national elections, that's in our local elections. If you know, then you know. God says, cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. Verse 6, thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou art gone backward. Therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I am weary with repenting. Wow. Wow. God says, oh Lord, but remember what's going to happen to your reputation. He said, I'm done. He said, I'm done. But we'll go to church on Sunday. I'm done. But we'll be good from now on. I'm done. Heard it before. I'm weary with it. You see it? That to me is one of the biggest statements God ever made. I am weary with repenting. I don't want to make this just about elections. This I want to make it about America, but let's make it about our church. Let's make it about you. Let's make it about us. Playing with the devil and then going home to Jesus. Lord says, I'm weary with it. I'm worn out with it. Don't keep doing it and then coming back and asking for my help after you've done all that. That's a huge statement. Look at verse 15. O Lord, thou knowest, remember, and this is Jeremiah, I told you we'd get here. Lord, thou knowest, remember me, visit me, revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy persecutors. Take me not away in thy longsuffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Isn't it incredible? You know, we talk about getting saved. Boy, think about getting saved, all my sins washed away, and hope and joy and love and peace. That ought to make you happy. Then you start looking around the world and see what people are doing. It makes you mad. That's what Jeremiah says. Filled me with indignation. Jeremiah, he's preaching to people and they're not listening and they're stone-faced. And God said, Jeremiah, I want you to preach to them, but I understand they're not going to listen to you. Oh, I'll give it a try. He said, I'll preach to them. And then he preaches and they're stone-faced and stone-hearted and won't listen to him. Guys, look what's happening. I told you this is what's coming. He said, now I'm angry. Now I'm filled with indignation. Verse 18, why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar? And as waters that fail? Remember, guys, when if America collapses, we're all going to suffer. Not just the ones that caused it. Everybody. Not just the sinners, the saved sinners too. Not just the unchurched, the church too. Not just those who were lazy and didn't work hard, the hard workers too. Jeremiah says, God, but what about me? I've been doing what's right. I've been sitting over here. I haven't been participating in all that, but I'm thirsty just like everybody else. Verse 19, therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again. Thou shalt stand before me, and if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return to thee, but return not unto them. Oh, Jeremiah, if the people come looking to you, that's okay, but you stop going out looking for them. You stop pursuing them. Don't pray for them. Don't pursue them. Wait for them to come to you. Now listen, that's not our mission program. That's not our evangelism program. But that's what God told Jeremiah. He said, I will deliver thee. Okay, verse 21. I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked. I'll redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. It's tragic that we find ourselves, and you know the truth is, it wouldn't matter what administration was in, and it wouldn't matter who was running for office. The truth is, preachers have been able to say this stuff for the last decades, hundreds, whatever, of years. America needs Jesus. That's what America needs. And it's our job to give him to them. It's our job. There's no other organization that Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Only churches. It's our job. You want America to change? How about just looking right around in your circle and start reaching people for Jesus? You may find yourself just like Jeremiah, reaching a point of indignation, saying, I've tried, I just can't reach them. They don't listen, they don't want to hear it. Jesus is the only hope for our country. And it's our job to take Jesus to our country. Would you stand? Father, we love you. And I know that tonight has not been necessarily encouraging so much as challenging. God, we just want to do your will. We want to serve you. We want to make a difference. We want souls to be saved and lives to be changed. And we know, Lord, that we're nearing that point. We're at the threshold. We believe it. We see all the signs. And so our time is limited. The church age is limited. Help us to understand the urgency of the hour and make a difference. Lord, we surrender our hearts, our minds, our lives to you. Use us for your glory. Dismiss us with your favor. Bring us back at the next appointed time. In Jesus' name, amen.